السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: اتق الله حيثما كنت، وأتبع السيئة الحسنة تمحها، وخالق الناس بخلق حسن، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Most respected elders and brothers, and our mothers and sisters who may be listening over streaming, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us life in this world, which is a transitory world. It is a temporary world. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to this world as an abode which is darul ghurur. It is a place of deception. Usually in the Jummah prayers you will hear the Imam reciting that بَلْ تُؤْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرُ أَبْقَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, addressing man, that you give preference to this temporary life, whereas the hereafter is better and it is eternal. That is why there was one great alim. He had a madrasa, and he used to teach the learners in the madrasa, and he used to tell them that your watane asli, your real homeland, if we may say, your watane asli is Jannah, and your watane arzi, your temporary place of residence, is this town or this village that you are living in. So whenever anybody would ask them that, where do you stay, they should say, hamara watan asli to jannat hai aur watan arzi yahi jagah hai, or whatever it may be. If somebody asked them that, where did you stay, they say, my real abode is Jannat, and my temporary abode is the town of, if we may say here, Overport or Durban or Essenwood or Sherwood or Westville, wherever it may be. That's my temporary residence. He was instilling in those little children already the reality of this world, that I'm actually going to be living there. I'm just here temporarily. And we have examples of this in our society. You'll find a person, he says, I'm going to UK. I'll be working there for 2 years. I've got a 2-year contract, and I'll be back in South Africa. So when he's in UK, of course, he will, you know, get a flat. He'll furnish the flat. He'll make sure that he's, you know, comfortable. But at the back of his mind, he knows that, listen, I'm going to be leaving everything behind, and I will return back to my home. Here in South Africa also we find people come to South Africa, they'll work for a period of time, they're sending their money back to their homeland. And they have it at the back of their mind that after 2 years I'm going back to my actual home, my little village. I've sent money there, we've built, we've extended. So his heart is in his homeland. His heart in his hometown. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it such that our hearts are linked to the akhirah. Our hearts are linked to Jannah. The person who keeps akhirat in front of him or her, they have the year after in front of them all the time, then they will work towards it. Now the person, if he realizes that I have to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I will have to give account to everything that I do, that in his business he will abstain from engaging in any activity or any transaction that would displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, that's just by way of introduction, that Allah ta'ala has sent us into this temporary world for a period of time. But in this limited period of time that we have in this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the recipe for us to live in this world in a very harmonious way. In a way that our lives can be a life of tranquility. And today you find people are searching for it. I said, Marana, you know, I'm very restless. The person sometimes has the most expensive vehicle, or he has a very, very comfortable vehicle. He has his own home. That home is well furnished. But in his heart, he is restless. There's no real happiness in the heart. And this is something that we need to realize, that we will only find tranquility, we will only find peace and happiness in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, nobody can say that I am obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 100%. Because we are human beings, we are imperfect, we make mistakes. But we continuously make an effort to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whenever we make a mistake, we turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we seek the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So long as a person is doing this, he's making an effort to please Allah ta'ala. He's slipping here, he's slipping there. As one poet says, Ye kushti to hai, unse umr bhar bhi. Kabhi tu dabale, kabhi wo dabale. Jo naakam hota rahe umr bhar bhi. Behrhal to aashik na chode. The translation of that poem is that this wrestling match between you and shaitan and your nafs will carry on for the rest of your life. We know we've got two enemies. The one enemy is shaitan. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Majid, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ فَاتَّخِذُوهُ عَدُوًا. That the shaitan is an open enemy of yours, take him as your enemy. And the second enemy that we have is the enemy within our own selves, our own nafs. This is what caused shaitan to go astray. His own ego, his own self within him. It led him to disobey and reject the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, ulama-i kiram explained that this nafs is more dangerous than shaitan. Because what caused shaitan to go astray? There was no other shaitan there. It was his own nafs. So the greatest enemy is the enemy within. So the person continuously makes an effort, this wrestling match and this fight between nafs and shaitan will carry on for the rest of your life. But he says that we never give up this effort. Even if we have to fall 100 times, we will get up 100 times and we will renew our repentance before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so long as, respected elders and brothers, we continue on this path, Allah will bless us with tranquility. That inner peace within the heart. In fact, one friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in those days, he had a very close bond with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to develop a close bond with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you don't need to, you know, do some kind of registration or application or pay a deposit or, you know, be linked up or come from a specific family. This bond and relationship, every single Muslim can establish this bond. And how do you establish this bond? By making an effort to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By sacrificing your inner passions and desires in order to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as you continue making these sacrifices and these efforts, the person then becomes closer and closer and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says that I noticed that the day I disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even my conveyance, my animal becomes disobedient. In other words, there is an effect that when you displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will see the impact and the effect in your daily life, in your relationships. In fact, the ulama-i kiram will bear me out, you will find, you will notice between husband and wife, that when the husband or the wife becomes unfaithful, then the first thing that is removed from that relationship is the love between the two. And you will find that the husband no longer has love for the wife. or the wife now no longer has love for the husband. It's just now, you know, and one person told me that we're living together, but it's just we don't want the relatives and the families to, you know that we are actually separated. We don't want to spoil our name for the sake of the children. We just live together. I sleep in one room, she sleeps in another room, and we are just, you know, carrying on this way. There's no mahabba, there's no love within that home. What kind of a relationship is it? Now, from the outside, it's viewed as, subhanAllah, this family is a well-functioning family. Everything is going so well. But the reality is that home is shattered, it is broken. And very often it is because of the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from either of the spouses. So therefore, we have to realize, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran Majeed, وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكَ. That person who turns away, the gist of the verse, who turns away from my obedience, his life becomes narrow. Now, we need to understand that it doesn't mean that every person who is going through some hardships, who is going through some calamity, who is going through some challenge, who is going through some pain, who has some sickness, then automatically it means that this person must have disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On a lighter note, Allama Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullahi gives an example. He says, one person had a parrot, and this parrot used to entertain all the customers that would come into his shop. So when these customers would come in, this parrot would speak and engage and, you know, make certain statements that would amuse them and entertain the customers. So one particular day, he had a very expensive bottle of almond oil, and it was kept on the shop counter. And this parrot moved and walked in such a way that he eventually dropped that bottle on the ground, and it was destroyed. It cracked. So the owner became enraged, and he struck that parrot on its head, and as a result, the parrot became bald. Of course, these are stories. Allama Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullahi would depict these kind of dramatic stories to drive home a very important lesson. So he said, now the parrot, in order to express his dissatisfaction and his disapproval and his anger at the master, he decided that he's no longer speaking. So now the customers would come in, this parrot would remain silent, and now everything that the master tried to do to please the parrot, he just refused to speak. He said, until one day a bald person walked into the shop. So when this bald person walked into the shop, the parrot looked at him and said, I think you must also dropped a bottle of oil for your master. So the moral of the story is that sometimes we look at ourselves and we then apply it onto somebody else. That it must be that person who is going through some hardship or some sickness or some calamity, it must be that he is also disobeying and displeasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We as a community, we must learn to judge ourselves and not judge others. One of the big problems that we have is that we are judging everyone else and we are forgetting to judge ourselves. We need to judge ourselves. Allah Ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah will not ask you that why didn't you evaluate that person whether he's going to Jannat or Jahannam. But Allah Ta'ala will ask you that why did you not take stock and account of your own self. So nevertheless, sometimes a person who is going through a calamity, that calamity is a means of bringing that person closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are many instances of this nature that Allah Ta'ala afflicted a person with such a calamity that this person's entire world became narrow. But that became a means of that person raising his hand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and establishing such a link and bond with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yesterday Allah Ta'ala gave the good fortune of going to visit one person in the ICU, and he couldn't even speak. And whatever words I could mention of motivation for the person, and I saw the tears coming down the person's eye, and I reflected and pondered that imagine the kind of reflections that are going through that person's heart, and how that person is connecting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and turning towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's got all his hope and du'as and connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hence we find in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to the effect that why did you not, you know, visit me? So the person would say, Ya Allah, how is it that I can visit you? He said, had you gone to that sick person, that person was afflicted with that sickness. Had you gone to that person, you would have found me with that person. Because that person's heart is linked to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His or her heart is shattered and they're turning towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you will be close to that person, you will make khidmat of that person insha'Allah will be a means of connecting you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should not judge the next person. Sometimes that sickness or that challenge or that difficulty, whether it's of a financial nature, it is a means of bringing that person closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the respected elders, but in general, a person who disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will find that his heart is restless. So here you will find that the person has everything. He's got everything at his beck and call, if we may say. But there's something missing. That inner peace, that tranquility, it is missing from his life. And on the other hand, you will find a person perhaps doesn't have all of those things. But he is making an effort to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala blesses his heart with such tranquility, with such happiness, that subhanallah, if he could open his heart and show you the kind of peace, the kind of tranquility, as again Allama Jalaluddin Umi rahmatullahi says, he says that, you know, Bilal ibn Rabah radiyallahu anhu, when he was being beaten by these polytheists and these mushrikeen, then when he would take the name of Allah and say, Ahad, Ahad, he was experiencing such a sweetness that made him forget all those lashings that he was going through. That connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala bless us with that kind of a sweetness of iman. Therefore, respected elders and brothers, in order to achieve this tranquility, this serenity, we need to make an effort to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Continuous effort. And subhanallah, we are coming close to the month of Ramadan. And therefore this hadith, we'll just touch on a few points. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned three advices. اتَّقِ اللَّهَ حَيْثُمَا كُنْ. Fear Allah wherever you are. Be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wherever you are. Whether the person is in public or whether the person is in secrecy, there too he has to realize that Allah is watching me. Allah is with me. Allah is aware of my actions. And that awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala restrains the person from violating any command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The taqwa is such an important ingredient in every person's life. And we will continuously make an effort to achieve the taqwa. We cannot say, if somebody says, Maulana, I have got taqwa, then we will say that to make the claim that you have got taqwa is already a sign that you do not have taqwa. Because those people who really have taqwa, they regard themselves as nothing. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran and Majeed, فَلَا تُزَكُّ أَنفُسَكُمْ هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنِ اتَّقَى. Do not make the claim of taqwa, because only Allah knows who has really got taqwa. So we will make the effort to try and achieve this taqwa, whether we in our business places, whether it is in our relationship with our wife, whether it is in our relationship and engagement with our children, whether it is with our neighbors. We will always ensure that we are aware that Allah is watching us. Just to share one incident. We all heard of our late Hazrat Mawlana Yunus Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. And Hazrat Mawlana Yunus Sahib Rahmatullah Ali stayed in the early days in the Asheville area. He stayed right next to a church. Alhamdulillah, we also had the good fortune when we had come to Durban that we stayed in the very same house in the outbuilding, and the church was right next door. And the family members mentioned that not once did Mawlana ever mention any statement in disrespect of the church that was next door. And he always ensured that he had a good relationship with the pastor and the people that were next door. Now, if it was one of us, what would have happened? If they were having their ceremony or the celebration on that Sunday morning, then we would have, you know, whatever insults we could hurl at them, or at least we would have expressed our disgust in front of the children. But they say that once did they even see Mawlana doing that. Look at this, the personality, that he understood that Allah has instructed me that I should ensure that with regards to my neighbors, I maintain a good relationship irrespective of whether that neighbor is a Muslim, whether that neighbor is a Christian, or whether that neighbor is a Jew. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَا زَالَ جِبْرِيلُ يُسِينِي بِالْجَارِ حَتَّى ظَنَنْتُ أَنَّهُ سَيُوَرِّثُهُ. That Jibreel alayhi salam continuously advised me and admonished me with regards to my neighbors, until I thought eventually it looks like they may even be part and parcel and inherit from the estate of a person. So that was the emphasis on the rights of the neighbors. So a person who is conscious that Allah is with him at all times, whether it is in his relationship with the neighbor, whether it is in his relationship with the wife, whether it is in his business, he says that Allah is with me. And even if he makes a mistake, he immediately reflects it. Ya Allah, you saw, I should never have done that. And he tries to make an effort to change it. And that's the next step, that we are human beings. Rasulullah said, وَأَتْبِعِ السَّيِّئَةَ الْحَسَنَةَ تَمْحُهَا, that you will make mistakes. We are human beings, we are not angels. We are imperfect beings. We will slip, we will fall, we will err. There will be a slip of the tongue. But when you make a mistake, then make sure that you expiate that mistake by doing some good deed thereafter. You hurt the feelings of the next person. Why not call that person, ask for forgiveness, and then praise that person. Put happiness in the heart of that person. You shattered the heart of that person. Now try and make up for that by putting happiness in the heart of that person. As we learn in the hadith of Rasulullah SAW, one sahabi was beating up his slave. And Rasulullah SAW was walking behind. And the Nabi of Allah then immediately said to him that Allah has more power over you than you have over the slaves. And when he turned around, he saw that the Nabi of Allah was in front of him. He said, Oh Nabi of Allah, I make you a witness that I have now freed the slave. And the Rasulullah said, had you not freed that slave, I feared that the fire of Jahannam would have touched you. So subhanAllah, sometimes a person does some bad deed because of which he earns the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if he expiates it with some good deed thereafter, there is hope that the one will wipe out the other. And finally, we end on this. وَخَالِقِ النَّاسَ بِخُلُقٍ حَسَنٍ, that develop good character. Deal with people in the best of character. Today we find that people, alhamdulillah, we make an effort to bring deen in our lives. We are performing our salah. We are giving our zakat. But when it comes to our character, we are falling short. We are harsh. We are, labeling people, insulting people, showing disrespect to others, not realizing that in the process, unfortunately, we are moving further away from the happiness and the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I will terminate on this. The two women were mentioned to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They said, Ya Rasulullah, this one particular woman, she's very, very pious. She performs a salah, she performs extra salah, she performs tahajjud, she's continuously fasting. So she, if we may say, she was a great worshipper of Allah. But Ya Rasulullah, she has bad character. Her character is very bad. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, she will be in the fire of Jahannam. And on the contrary, they said, Ya Rasulullah, there is another woman who does what she needs to do. She's performing a farz, wajib, whatever it may be. But nothing extra. No additional fasting or all of those things. But Ya Rasulullah, her character, her akhlaq is phenomenal. She's such a wonderful woman. The Nabi of Allah said she will go to the gardens of Jannah. Therefore, respected elders and brothers, for us to achieve this tranquility and this happiness, it is only in the obedience of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Therefore, we continuously will make an effort to develop this quality of taqwa, to be conscious that Allah is watching us, and all the ibadat that we engage in, it also helps us develop this taqwa. A person makes the zikr of Allah to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to realize that Allah is watching. The person performs that salah also in order so that he is conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, it is the hukam of Allah. Because otherwise somebody will say, well, Mawlana, if the objective of salah is just to remember Allah ta'ala, as one person mentioned to Mawlana Yusuf, he was a doctor. He said, Mawlana, I don't perform salah. Because I see the purpose of salah is to remember Allah. So I just make sure that from this time to that time in my practice, no patients come in. I sit on my desk and I think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So of course we know that we have to submit to the command of Allah Ta'ala in the manner that Allah wants us to submit. Not how our logic, appeals to us. As Allah has commanded us, that's how we will do. If a person decides to make, tawaf of Kaabatullah Sharif in the opposite direction, it will not be accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Islam is about submitting to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unquestioned. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with the quality of taqwa. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it such that we are always finding an opportunity to do some good action by which we can wipe out the effect of our weaknesses and our sins. And finally, we make dua that Allah makes us of those who develops traits of the noble akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.